Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and set out on it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
This morning we're thinking about sowing the seed. There is a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And that can happen in all aspects of life, can't it? It can also happen in church life too. And it can also happen when we come to God's word. I have to confess, when you work through a gospel and you have to tackle different parts, I thought, oh, right, it's the parable of the sower. Everyone knows it. Everyone's really familiar with it. The tendency is everyone, no, exaggeration. The temptation is we could just switch off because we've heard it all before and because it is so familiar. We know the parable about the sower. It's one of the best known parables. So what are we going to get from God's word this morning? Sometimes the problem's with us, isn't it? That because we think it's familiar, we shut our minds off. We close our hearts off and we say, well, actually, I know everything in the passage. I know what the different ground represents. I know what Jesus is saying. So the tendency is to think, well, you know, what we're going to learn from this morning. But you know the wonderful thing about God's word? If we go to it with open hearts and open minds, every time we go there, we find stuff that we didn't appreciate and see before. That's the wonder of God's word. It's just a treasure trove. It's like a mine of gems. And you go digging, and you discover things that you didn't know were there. And when you go a little bit further down, a little deeper, you discover more stuff. And suddenly, a passage that you think perhaps is a little stale in our minds, can come alive. My prayer is this morning, as we cover some familiar ground, that God through His Spirit would speak to us. That we'd be fed through God's Word this morning. Sometimes, you know, we do need to go back to basics. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the world in which we live in and the world in which we're ministering in as Christians. Now, at face value, this parable is actually quite depressing. Just think. We have someone in our church fellowship, in our church circle, who professes faith in Jesus Christ. This parable teaches us that so many people who actually say, I've put my trust in Jesus, won't actually make it to the point where they bear fruit. That is tragic and it's sad. And it also can have the impact upon us of leaving us disillusioned, thinking, what's the point? But the positive and the plus point from this parable is Jesus is making really clear that there will be places where the seed is sown, where it falls into good ground, where God Himself will grow the seed and make it flourish and produce fruit. When we see the seed being sown, we see most of it failing to produce. The proportions will change. Different times, different countries, different circumstances. Right now in the UK, the proportion of growth is very low. It's estimated that nationally, the evangelical church, the numbers in the evangelical in the church, is remaining static. But the population's growing. So the percentage of evangelical Christians in the world, so in the UK, is actually falling. In the borough of Rotherham, where I come from, don't know if I should admit that, there are approximately 250,000 people. But it's estimated that there are less than 250 Christians. I don't know whether that's right or not, but you get the overall drift. That's 0.1%. In the borough of Barnsley, just round the corner, nearly another 250,000 people, less than 0.1%. Such areas in our own country are amongst the most barren spiritually in the whole world. With the gospel church over 200 years, Wem has become a centre for believers. Priest Baptist Church has been established. The Cellar Church in Ellesmere has been established. But as you look right across North Shropshire, there is a spiritual barrenness. As a church, we've been sowing the seed this last year. We've had many people come to hear the gospel first Sunday, Holiday Bible Club last year, other events that we've run. People have heard something of the gospel. And we see very little fruit being produced. And maybe we ask ourselves, what is being achieved? Why do we go to the effort of running all the activities that we do run? Is it worth it? Is it worth running Tiddlywinks? Is it worth running Kids Zone? What about the coffee morning? What's been produced? What's been born out of the school's work? In fact, is it right even to expect a harvest? These are real questions for us if we're honest, aren't they? We naturally become disappointed. And disappointment can become disillusionment. And then we can end up just not trying. We can lose the motivation to share the good news of Jesus. And we can end up retreating as part of a siege mentality. Lose the evangelistic cutting edge, and to some degree you lose the lifeblood of the church. How do we approach our future evangelism? Do we continue just as we are? Are we willing to take a risk for the gospel? Please note that was for the gospel, not with the gospel. And there are huge dangers of retreating into a comfortable zone of self-perpetuation. What are we about as a church? Well, we exist because we're called by God to be a people set aside for the glory of his name. We need to be a witness to the world. We need to sow the seed of the gospel into the world. And then, as people profess faith, we have a responsibility and we have a job to do that I think churches generally in the UK have not been brilliant at, which is to take the seed that has just started to shoot when it's vulnerable, and we need to nurture. We need to disciple. We need to grow people. We need to teach them well. And that's just so important. Now, the Bible is an amazing book. We've heard that in the kids' zone this morning. It speaks truth to us. It never fudges the issues. It's true to life. Deals with the reality of life, exactly as Jesus did. And we start looking at this parable from a disadvantage. You see, Jesus is here has understood what Jesus was saying in their cultural context. They understood what their farmers did. But we live in a very different era. The tractors prepare the ground. The field is drilled and the seed is sown by machinery. And the combine harvesters gather the harvesting. But in Jesus' day, it was very different. The farmer had a pouch down by his side. And he would walk across the land and he would take the seed out with his hand and he would sprinkle it across the land. Now, don't imagine big, huge fields like we have them of several acres each. These would be small areas, very often, with little paths and tracks running through them. And so the farmer would get his seed, and obviously he would try to sow his seed into the good ground, into the soil, where it's got a chance of growing and producing a harvest. But the reality is, and you try, if you try putting fertilizer on your grass at home or something like that, you try and do it evenly, if you're doing it by hand, but it's really difficult to do it. And so as the seed is sown, it gets blown all over. It ends up in good ground, it ends up on the path, it ends up amidst where weeds are going to thrive. And so this picture is really familiar for those to whom Jesus is speaking. We've got to work a little bit harder this morning to understand it. Firstly, we are called to sow the seed. Come with me, please, to verse 14. The farmer sows the seed. We are called to be farmers. Now, there's often some misunderstanding about this. Some have tried to say that the farmer's God. Jesus doesn't say that at all. He doesn't say directly in the text who the farmer is. He's the one who sows the seed. Who sows the seed? Who sows the seed of God's word today? Christians do. It's our calling. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Isn't that sowing the seed? This is the command that's given to Jesus' disciples. It's also the command that's given to all believers through all generations. It's a command given to us to sow the seed. Each Christian is called to be a farmer, to scatter the seed. Doesn't matter whether you're old or young. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Doesn't matter whether you're a natural farmer or not. You're expected to sow the seed. It is a command. It is not an optional extra. Now, some will always be more gifted than others. But each one of us has a responsibility to sow the seed. How do we sow the seed? We sow the seed by proclaiming God's truth. How do we do that? Sometimes it's by word. Sometimes it might be by tract. But it also has to be through our lives, through the integrity of our lives, so that we shine as a witness to the world around us, because we are Christ's ambassadors. Where are we called to sow the seed? We're called to sow the seed in all places. But firstly, we're called to sow the seed, but the seed is ultimately the truth of God. It's the word of God. It's where the word of God is proclaimed and sown. What's the word of God? It is God's truth. The truth of God encompassed in his word, it is God's word to us. Everything that God wants to say to us about himself and about you and me is to be found in his word. So when we sow the seed, what are we doing? We're telling God's truth. We seek to present God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We try to tell the situation as it is, and we try to present the truth of God's word. And you know what one of the real dangers is today? Is we try, when we present the truth of God's word, if we're not careful, we try and just mold it a little bit, shape it a little bit, to make it a little bit more acceptable, to make it a little bit more palatable for the hearers. We should never do that with God's word. Truth is truth. The moment you fiddle with truth, it ceases to be truth. And so, we need to make sure that the seed that we're sowing is seed that can actually produce a harvest. You can get seed that will never ever produce. And quite frankly, it's a waste of time sowing that seed, because it'll never produce real fruit. So we need to make sure that when we sow the seed, we are sowing the truth of God's word. Can I be really blunt this morning? That means we can't say to people, come to Jesus and life will be all sorted out and okay. Come to Jesus and get all your problems sorted out. Jesus will sort out your main problem of sin, but there'll be an awful lot of other things in life where you'll go through trials and difficulties. To sow the truth of God's word in a politically correct age is to state that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. It is to state that there is a hell to be saved from and a heaven to be gained. And you see, we need to make sure that we are sowing the real seed, the truth. What's involved in sowing the seed? Well, it can be done in a variety of different ways. It can be impersonal, leaflets. It can be radio work. It can be about one-to-one. But if you look at Jesus' ministry, it was very much relational. There were times when he gathered people around him and he spoke to them 1 to 12, 20, sometimes 5,000, okay, the really big groups. But Jesus interacted with people in a relational way. And I think that's very significant. Interestingly, Jesus did it over meals very often. Simon the Pharisee, Zacchaeus. Jesus went to seek and save the rejected in this life, those that are vulnerable, despairing of life. So what about us? It's not about preaching the gospel every Sunday morning. Now, when we preach God's word, the gospel will always permeate through it, because that is the heart of what we are. That is the essence of what we believe. So we will always end up talking, singing, praying about the cross, talking about what Jesus has done for us in our lives. But the gospel shines out through our day-to-day lives as we live in this world. It's about shining Jesus, being his ambassadors, looking for those who have needs in the world, looking for those people who might be open, who might be good soil for the seed to be sown into. Then using these opportunities, we sow the seed, talking about God, bringing someone to First Sunday, a Christianity Explored, Quality Bible Club. What's sowing the seed? It's speaking for Jesus, but critically it's living for Jesus. Sowing the seed is any impartation of God's truth in whatever form that is. And you know, God has chosen us to do it. He doesn't need us, but he's chosen to use us. More than that, he's commanded us to do it. Number two, we don't control the ground. Now, we're called to sow seed into every type of ground. The truth is, we don't know what type of ground it's going to be. We don't know whether the ground is a good field with soil in, or it's a path. We don't know whether there are weeds there ready to spring up. Only God knows the heart. We might think we have an idea, but so often we don't know the ground at all because we don't know people's hearts. That's okay. But what it does mean is we have to sow the seed to all people. Now, clearly, if we see signs of fertile ground, we want to sow the seed effectively into it. That's our job to do that. But don't forget, we don't know the heart, and we don't control the ground. God prepares the ground. If we don't know the ground, God does. Who prepares the ground? The Holy Spirit does. The seed, you see, as it's sown, has all the potential of life in it, if it's the right seed that's sown, if it's the truth of God's word. That seed contains life itself, but it needs the right ground so it can die and produce life. That's God's department. Can we influence it? Yes, we can. It's called prayer. We can sow into barren ground, and you know, God, because he's sovereign, because he's all-powerful, in response to the things that we pray, is able to take that barren ground, plow it up, and make it fertile ground, so the seed that's sown into it can produce a harvest. And we need to pray sometimes that God would do that. The ground varies at different times, in different places. I'm not going to go through all the types of ground this morning, except to say the path where the seed, the truth, never takes root. It's snatched away by the devil. There's the rock, where something springs up really quickly, but it doesn't last. There's the thorns, when things do look so encouraging. Things look to be going so well. And then the worries, the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this world just choke it. And then there's the good soil, where a real harvest grows. Notice the progression here. Come to verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Good soil. People who hear God's word, people who retain God's word, persevere with God's word, people who produce real life, people who come to faith that will produce a harvest. And you know, the ground varies in different times. Sometimes the ground is very fertile. Other times it seems like every ground that we sow in is like a path. I think that's probably the UK today, isn't it? Today the ground is hard in the UK. There seems to be little good soil. And the seed seems to be snatched away even before it hits the ground. The devil takes it before it lands. But I was away in Oak Hall yesterday, down in Kent. And we had a report about the church in Algeria that I found a huge blessing. Just a couple of years ago in Algeria, 8 people came to faith and they were baptized. After their baptism, they were all poisoned and they all died. The missionary thought, is that it? Is that really it? Today in Algeria, and this came as a shock to me, Lynn told me it's true from her OM perspective, came as a shock to me that there's a revival going on in Algeria, in the Muslim country. And there are thousands coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Missionaries sowed the seed, and 8 people were converted and died, but God produces a harvest. It's God's work. And today, sowing the seed is often unrewarding work. It's disappointing work, but the task goes on. We continue to sow the seed to fulfill the command, And we sow the seed out of obedience to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this morning, and lastly, we do sow to reap a harvest. Why does the farmer sow the seed? Because it's his job. That's what he does. That's his calling. But every farmer sows the seed in hope of a harvest. Otherwise he wouldn't waste his time. He does so with anticipation. Even in a drought-ridden country where there's been drought and there hasn't been a harvest for year after year after year, the farmer will still go out and he will put his seed into the ground because he hopes this year there will be a harvest. And we too sow in hope of a harvest. We sow because we've been called to do that, because we've been commanded to do it, but we are to do it with expectation. The ground may be difficult. We might think we're sowing in a desert, but continual sowing will produce a harvest in God's time, in God's way, in his choosing, not in ours. A farmer who loses the desire to sow the seed will not sow it properly. So it is with us. So if we're half-hearted, we will only sow the seed half-heartedly. And that will not honour the name of Jesus Christ. We are expected to sow the seed to the best of our ability and skill. Then we should pray to the Lord of the harvest for him to do his work. Prepare the ground, water the seed, and make the seed grow. Where does that leave us now? Three actions need to take place. Firstly, we need to fulfill the command. We should be living lives that honour Jesus Christ. We should be lights in a dark world. Secondly, there are times when we need to speak out. We need to share the good news. And thirdly, we need to pray for good ground and the work of the Holy Spirit. Are we really serious about sowing the seed? Do we do it simply because we're commanded? Or is there a God-motivated desire to honour the name of Jesus Christ, if nothing else, by simple obedience? Our love for Jesus will be shown through our desire to make his name known. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father God, we know that you've called each one of us to be your ambassadors, to be your witnesses. Please forgive us that so often we fail in the job that you call us to do. Help us to want to sow the seed because we love you and we want to obey your commands. Father God, we want to pray again this morning for each person who is involved in sowing the seed, that you'll give all of us boldness to proclaim the truth. We pray particularly even this week for the weekly activities that will take place where the seed is being sown. Lord, help us to be faithful servants and to leave you to bring about the fruit. We pray this in the name of Jesus.